Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3, please. And let's read verse 16 and 17 together. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Amen. I have a couple of questions for you. Okay, you don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. Okay? Just think about why people do the things that they do. Just think about it. Think about why believers do some of the things that they do. And then think about what our mandate is as believers. And then you got to ask yourself, are we lining up with that mandate? Are we operating in the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we are the church? The church that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And if we can't come up with positive responses, then we have to ask ourselves why. We have to ask ourselves why. And I've been doing a lot of asking myself why concerning me and some of the choices that I've been making. Because some of the choices I've been making, tough to say, but it's the truth, weren't always in line with me believing that Jesus is the Christ. Sometimes I made choices based on I was mad, or I didn't like it, or this is what I wanted to do, or this is what I thought I can get away with. Just being honest, I know I'm the only one. Okay. I know we've all been there, I know. Okay. But see, operating as a believer is dependent on one thing. We have to believe God is. We have to. If we can't believe God is, there's no reason to do what he says. None. If Pastor Ed and I kept giving instructions and you didn't do it and we didn't do anything about it, you wouldn't listen to us. And after a while, you'd start to lose respect for us. But if you know, no, this is what the pastor said, this is what they mean, period. There's sometimes, you know, growing up here in the ministry, there's some things that Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah would say or mandate, and I'm like, man, they're rough. They don't want us to have any fun. No, they're trying to save ourselves from a whole lot of stuff. And once I caught a hold of it, it worked well for me. Okay. But we have to fully understand not only who God is, but that God is. See, there's a reason why he told Moses, when Moses said, what's your name? And he said, I am that I am. There's a reason for it. And we're going to get to it as God is moving me down the notes. Okay. One of the things that we need to do is we need to understand as most of you know, I wasn't always this nice person, quote unquote. I had a different attitude at one point in my life. And even though I may be able to justify it in my own mind, it was still wrong. But folks knew who that person was. See, my parents named me Gregory. My mother said God told her to give me that name. I was named after her pastor, Reverend Gregory. And I found out that Gregory means watchman ever vigilant. Vigilant, excuse me. Thank you. I was looking up today because I said, I wonder what Edward means. Well, where is it? It means it's similar. It really is. I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't think I wrote it down. But one meant strong bore. And it'll come to me. But it's in like a guardian. That's what it means. Guardian. It's strong like a boar. That's what it meant. So you got a vigilant watchman and a guardian who's strong like a boar. Okay. So if you're thinking about not listening, you rethink that. Okay. But the reason I'm sharing with you is that names mean something, and names can reveal a lot about one's character. See, when I was out there and someone said, Foots said, that had some weight because folks knew the character of Foots. It's just like when mommy said do something, my response was easy. Okay. Why? I knew her character and I knew her strength. Okay. And I didn't want to have any dealings with it, so I listened. I mean, it was just that simple. And so if someone said in school, they said, do we need to call your mother? Nope, 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 nope. Everything's fine. You know, we can just forget all of that. You won't have any more problems from me because I knew what that name meant. And we have to get a firm understanding of what the name means. And so if we want to really get a good view, a good look, a good understanding of God's character, we have to start examining his names. Because all of his names mean something. It wasn't that the writers just didn't have anything to write or something that sounded good. I mean, God chose Abram to be the father of many nations, but Abram meant exalted father. So he couldn't have people calling him exalted father. So he changed his name to Abraham. So when they called him, they were saying father of a multitude, because that's what God said concerning him. And that's why I encourage you, let your children know when it comes time to naming your grandchildren, don't give them these cute names based on the city where they were conceived or whatever. My wife has a young man in her class named Harlem. That's his name, Harlem. One year she had a young man named Sir Royce, SirRoyce. She had another one named Mr. That was his name, Mr. And we'll forget about the ones with 17 different. All right. But, well, come on back. All right. So we're going to examine one of his names. Guess which one? I am. Okay. Moses, what's your name? I am. Why did he say that? We're going to understand some things. See, God had to reveal some things to Moses so Moses would believe him. After all, Moses had never spoken to God before. So he had to say something that would cause Moses to believe that this was really God. And it had to be more than just a burning bush. Because they had magicians and all sorts of stuff going on there. So God had to really give a revelation to Moses. Otherwise, Moses wasn't going to go anywhere. So we know the account when Moses saw the bush, in Exodus 3. He saw the bush burning with fire, but the bush wasn't being consumed. And so he wanted to see. And God, told him, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. And then God started sharing with Moses that he was aware of what was happening to his people. And he had a solution. In verse 10, he said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I like saying, when Moses came to, he said to God, who am I? All right. He said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? And he, being God, said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And then Moses went on again to tell them, you know, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say to them, he said, say, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. But I want to go back and look at those verses, because there is a pretty, what I believe is a pretty powerful, confidence-giving, faith-exploding revelation that began at verse 10. We'll start at 11. Moses said unto God, who am I that thou should send unto Pharaoh? Did God answer his question? No. Moses said, who am I that you should send me? God said, certainly, certainly, I will be with you. Now, certainly means without doubt. By all means, definitely, and it infers nothing will stop me. See, so Moses said, who am I that I should go? God said, nothing will stop me from going with you. Like, why is that important? Who you are is never as important as who you're with. And we need to understand that. Moses by himself was nothing. Moses with God was more than enough to get the job done. So everyone say, who I am is never as important as who I'm with. See? That's why God said to him, I am. I am. See, the reason we're so powerful as Christians is because God is with us always. It's not because we're out there by ourselves. Because he's with us. And it's confirmed if you go look at Hebrews 13:5. And I'm just going to start at the B section of Hebrews 13:5. For God has said, I will what? Never leave you. The Good News Translation says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Look what some other translations say. I will never desert you. I will never leave you or let you be alone. I will always be by your side. I'll never be away from you. I'll never let you go. I will never run away from you. What does all of this mean? I am that I am. God, are you with me? I am. I am. God, you're going to do this? I am. I am. Right? That's why the Bible says we can take comfort and be encouraged and not be afraid, because we are never alone. What's that song? No, never alone. Like that, well, that song is true. God said, I will never leave you. Never. Even if it feels like it. We need to understand he is there. And if he is there, he's going to handle it. And we're going to see that. Look at Deuteronomy 31. I need to share this out of the Amplified. I'm going to start at verse 1, read the first 8 verses. And Moses went on speaking these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God, listen to this, the Lord your God will himself go over before you. He said he's going over how? Okay. And he will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. And Joshua shall go over before you as the Lord has said. Verse 4. And the Lord will do to them as he did in Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. First he was going before them, now he's going with them. He will not forsake you or fail you. And Moses called to Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong, courageous, and firm, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to possess it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go or forsake you. Let there be no cowardice or flinching, but fear not, neither become broken in spirit, depressed, dismayed, and unnerved with alarm. Why? Wherever you go, he goes. He's before us. He's with us. He's saying, wherever you go, I am. I am. You turn around, I am. There isn't any place you can go where I'm not. That's why he said, I am that I am. No matter where you turn, I am there. I am always there. I will never stop being there. There isn't anything that you can do that will cause me to leave you there. Nothing. We have to understand that, because we get too afraid because we think, I'm out here by myself. No, you're not. We're going to look at this now. 1 Samuel 17. We know this account. David and Goliath. Nation of Israel. Mighty Israeli army. Whom God fights for. And it's just had record after record after record of God taking care of them. I think it's though it was amazing. They were willing to fight the Philistines, but they were afraid of Goliath. One man, because of his reputation and his size. And one, I know I say this every time I talk about this account because it just baffles me, this whole concept of rules for war. You know, my purpose is to kill you, but the only certain ways I can do it. You know, that's like, you it's like up in Pennsylvania, when we first got the property, it was overrun with deer, and I called wildlife, and I said, look, we need to do something about these deer. He said, what do you want us to do? I said, well, can't you come and dart them and take them away to a preserve or something? And they said, no. I said, why not? He said, well, they're different sizes. We don't know their health. And if we don't use the right amount, they could die. I said, well, what are we supposed to do? Hunt them. Right. I said, won't they be just as dead? I mean, that's... I'm thinking about it. This is war. The object is to obliterate the enemy, but if their champion comes out and challenges all of us, we can only send one. No, I would have broken that rule. Come out. One of you. Better send another one. Okay. But they didn't do that then. Goliath came out, challenged Israel, defied them, defied their God. Everybody's afraid of Goliath. David finds out about it. And David says to the king, don't lose any sweat over this guy. I'll go. And they're like, you can't do it. See, they didn't have the revelation that you're not alone. He didn't have that revelation. But David did. David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. He's like, okay, we'll never see him again. But David was like, God delivered me then, and he'll deliver me now. Certainly, God will be with me. He had no doubt God would be with him. He knew nothing would stop God from being with him. He knew that. He understood that it's never as important, that who you are is not as important as who's with you. David understood that. I don't know why he understood it, but he understood it when that lion came. And he was smart enough to know he didn't do that by his own strength. So he knew God was with him. And if God was with him with the lion, well, first of all, he had to believe that God wasn't afraid of Goliath. I mean, that's the first thing. I mean, if you're with someone and they're just as afraid as you are, then you're no better off than the Israeli army. Okay. But if God was not going to stay with us, then he could not call himself I am that I am. He'd have to say, I used to be. But he said, I am that I am. No matter which way you go, guess what? I am there. And I'm not just standing around. I am working with you. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord will fight for you? You just have to hold your peace. That means you just have to stay calm. That's all. And of course, we know Goliath mocked David when David came out because he felt insulted. I'm this mighty warrior and you send a kid out to see me. Someone who's not battle tested. I could tell that by how he looks. He had no scars or anything on him. He said David was very handsome. You know, I mean, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. And Goliath mocked him. He didn't know David wasn't by himself. All he saw was David, but he didn't see who was with David. And neither did Saul, and neither did the Israeli army. But thank God David did. And he said, you come to me with a sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Now, in order for the Lord to do that, guess what? He had to be there. How's he going to deliver Goliath if he's not there? Now, David couldn't see him. And the rest of the Israeli army couldn't see him. Certainly Goliath couldn't see him. But David knew. Why? He believed everything he had heard about God. And he knew that since God would never leave him or forsake him, when the lion attacked his sheep, well, he was in charge of the sheep. So the lion was defying his authority. It had to go. He wasn't going to back down from his authority. He was in charge. And God backed him up. When the bear came, same thing happened. God backed him up. And as David said, It was no different with Goliath. No different at all. We know the story. He ran toward Goliath, pulled out one of his five stones, and Goliath was done. Put it in a sling. All he had to do was let it go. Pastor Clinton always says the Holy Ghost just grabbed it and put it in one spot in the armor, in one spot on Goliath where there was no armor on his head. It had to be right between. I mean, that's, and down with Goliath. David didn't even have a sword. Had to take Goliath's sword, which probably weighed more than he did, you know, to kill him and cut his head off. But he didn't do it because he was this great warrior. He did it because he understood that it was who was with him is what made him invincible. He understood that I am was present. See, when you hear someone refer to God as I am, you need to get goosebumps and stuff because you know God is right here with you. And it doesn't matter what the situation is, since God is with you, you're going through it. And you're going through it unscathed. We need to understand that. Just because you get knocked down doesn't mean you get knocked out. There are a lot of times playing basketball, I've fallen down. We still won the game. We have to stop getting wrapped up in how something looks. I mean, how many of you watch football? We watch the playoffs. See the game last week with Seattle and Green Bay? Most of the people left the stadium. They thought Seattle, they're not going to repeat as Super Bowl champs this year. And miraculously, they won the game. Why? Because the football game is how many minutes? That's right. It doesn't matter who's ahead at the end of 58 minutes. It's who's ahead after 60 minutes. And in this case, at 60 minutes, it was a dead heat. So it went into overtime. See, I got to stay up here because of the feedback. What I want you to understand is, even if it appears you're at a stalemate, and you say, well, God, you said thanks be to you that causes us to triumph, not be in a stalemate. Well, who said the game was over? God will allow as many overtime sessions as necessary for you to win if you don't leave. See, the only way you don't win is if you leave. Those people left, and they didn't see, but fortunately, the player stayed. Okay. And they kept playing. And the unthinkable happened. Something that would probably never happen again in 100 years. A guy that's on the good hands team. All right, good hands means that they put the best people out there that can grab and hold on to a football that's squirming around all over the place. And this guy jumped up, grabbed the ball, and instead of bringing it down, he brought it down, and his helmet dislodged the ball from his hands. And it went right into the hands of the Seahawk player. I mean, the chances of that happening, I don't know. Wish it had been Dallas, but it wasn't. It was Green Bay. Archie knew I was going to get him. I can't wait. I have to go back to Jade Village because they had a lot of Green Bay fans in there. And I wanted Seattle to win because they were just more exciting to watch. See, we have to remember something about God. I shared it Sunday. It's found in Genesis 1:1. And it's the first four words. Let me know when you get there. Want me to tell you what Genesis 1 is? Are you there? Let's read the first four words. In the beginning, God. So we need to stop right there. Because, see, in order for you to create something, you have to be there before that something ever existed. You need to understand that. He was there in the beginning. How do you know that? I believe the Bible. And in John 1, in the expanded Bible, it says, in the beginning, there was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word refers to Christ, God's revelation of himself. The Word was in the presence of, in intimate relationship with God the Father, and the Word was fully God. And when God wanted light, what did he say? Well, let there be is permissive, not creative. God was speaking to something. And when you read commentaries and things on that scripture, they suggest that God was speaking to whatever force it was that was keeping the earth in darkness. It was, as far as God was concerned, it was the fullness of time. And he said, okay, let there be light. And whatever was holding light back had to let it go. Just like that. Had to let it go. So when you understand, the reason I'm sharing that with you is you need to understand the authority that God has. We need to understand that. We need to understand that there is no higher authority. There is no higher power. And he said, he's always with us. I am that I am. See, it was just a matter of time. And that's the one place where human beings have issues. When I read that, when God gave it to me that way, when he said it was just a matter of time, I said, hey, wait a minute. The Bible talks about that. It says, in due season, you will reap. If you do what? Faint not. Don't quit. Don't leave the game. Why? God is there. He's just waiting for the right time, which he already knows. And if we trust him, we know he's there. We know he's going to do it. Stop asking when. And just keep doing what he says. And the next thing you know, it's there. This stuff is, we're complicating it. It's really this simple. It really is. When Noah left the ark, what did he do? Built an altar. Why did he build an altar? To worship. So why did God have to put a rainbow to remind them of what he said? Because he knew human beings would allow circumstances to cause them to forget things. In the Old Testament, he was always announcing his credentials. I'm the God that brought thee out. And not once the verse said, no, I remember God, I know. No, he had to keep reminding us who he is. We have to stop getting to that. We have to leave that place and get to the place where we know who God is. And not only who he is, but guess what? He's always with me. Oh, right now, he's right with you. Right now. When those thoughts come in, that's the time to put them down. Say, Father, no, those are not my thoughts. Let your thoughts come into my head because you're always with me. When those thoughts come that we really know we shouldn't be thinking, we say, Father, Pastor Clinton said, he'd say, I said, Father, that's not my thought. And you get mad, how dare you come into my head when my Father's already in there? And treat, if it's a profane thought, treat it as such. And get rid of it because God is there. I mean, you're not going to act on it. Please, I hope you're not going to act on it. So why think it? Because if you keep thinking about it, the enemy will set up something to find out if you are who you say you are. And too many people wound up with new testimonies because they didn't get rid of it. We need to understand that one aspect of God's character is I am. because he'll never desert you. He'll never leave you. He'll never let you be alone. He will always be by your side. He will never be away from you. He will never let up on you. And he'll never run away from you. We have to become more like David and act like we believe he is, I am. I'm done. I'm done. All right. He is, I am. He is, I am. God is always with you. He's always with me. There isn't anything I can do while I'm alive that will cause me to be separate from him. He's always with me. And he wants to always work through me. See, always being with me is his choice. Always working through me is my choice. We have to learn to put our choices aside. And since God's with us and in us, let him do what he wants. And watch how much better our lives will be. I read some, I don't have it now, I'll share it on Sunday. But I came, when did I do this? Last night. I have an old computer. It's running ME. Okay. And that doesn't mean it's chasing me around. That's the operating system. Windows ME. And I had some notes from 2000. And I was looking at them, and I came across this quote from either Aristocrates or Aristophanes, where it talks about this generation of young people, and it talks about the lack of morals and all of that. This thing was written in 500 BC. You'd think it was written yesterday. And I'm thinking, why is that? After you think about how many years it's been from 500 BC to now, why hasn't it changed? We don't understand that he is, I am. And we don't let him operate as I am. We let him operate as we want. Okay. We need to understand he is, I am. Tell your neighbor. He is.
He is.
I am.
I am.
Tell him again. He is.
He is.
I am. Do him once more. He is.
I am.
And we don't ever want to forget that. Never want to forget that. Father, we give you all glory and honor and praise, as we said earlier. We thank you for showing us this one little simple principle, Lord, that's going to change our lives tremendously. Just knowing that one part of your character, only one, is that you are always there. And you will never leave. That is so comforting when we get it. It is so freeing when we get it. Help us get this revelation, Lord. That it doesn't matter who we are. All that matters is that you're with us. You're with us. Show us how to focus more on you and less on us. Show us, Lord, when we stray away from leaning totally on you. We understand that we need to be in a position where we depend absolutely on you. And the first step in doing that is knowing that you are there. That you'll never let us fall. Never. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.